Okay. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Core Light's Spiritual Weather Report. It's April 11th, 2021, and this is Brad. If you're new, my name is Brad Laughlin, and I'm here with my life partner, Leslie Temple Thurston, and we're here at our home in South Africa. Leslie was born in South Africa, which is why we landed here. We've been here, gosh, a long time, like 20 years or so. Over 20 years at this point. So anyway, it's always so great to connect on these calls. We love being with you all. And today's a special day. It's a new moon. And we're going to talk a little bit about that today and what it means and what's special about it. And also coming up in just 11 days is Leslie's enlightenment anniversary. And I know if you've been part of the Core Light community for any period of time, you know about that. It's April 22nd, which is also Earth Day. And there are no accidents. So very auspicious that Leslie had her spiritual awakening experience on what is now Earth Day. That was in 1988. So she's going to be 33 years old. And she's very happy. She's very happy to think that she's 33 again, but she considers her enlightenment anniversary sort of like being born again. So we call it a birthday, and that's not born again in the fundamentalist sense, but she's always explained that that was sort of what it was like. It was like, you know, being reborn into a new self when the old self, the old ego dissolved completely. And she reformed into a new being. And so we're going to have a little celebration for Leslie's enlightenment anniversary on April 22nd. And we'll send an email. We're planning to send an email soon about the celebration. It'll be some kind of group global meditation, you know, like we sometimes do, a rolling synchronized meditation, which is always powerful. It's a nice way to connect with the community. And Leslie will send a healing transmission throughout the day. So look for the email and join us on April 22nd so we can all connect on the inner planes and create a power of one and a field of love and continue the work that we do on these calls every month, which is creating this very powerful field of love together as a community. So I'd like to welcome everybody, especially those who are new to Core Light. I know most of you are longtime Core Lighters. You've been around for a long time, but we always have a few new people every month. So welcome to all of you. And in case you're new, here's how it works. Essentially, Leslie remains in silence, and I'm the one doing the talking. And she gives a transmission during the call, a transmission of healing energy. So I start by offering a guided meditation, and we invite you to relax and receive the transmission that Leslie sends. And when we're complete with the guided meditation, then I'll speak about the prevailing energies that affect us all right now, and we'll also talk about the spiritual principles that are most helpful for us right now. So at the end, we always have time for questions and answers. And we had some really wonderful, a couple of really wonderful questions in particular. So I'm going to be focusing on those questions that came in the last few weeks at the end of the call. And you're always welcome to send in sharing or questions by email. You send them to courses@corelight.org, courses@corelight.org. And I really like hearing from you. So if you want to share or ask a question, please connect. And then we always close with a brief guided meditation or prayer or whatever we have time for. So we try to keep these calls to roughly 2 hours, and sometimes they may go a little bit long. But if you have to leave, you can always check in later and get the recording. And we send out that recording on our email list. It's posted on our website, and it's posted on YouTube. So without further ado, let's go ahead with our guided meditation. And it's always one of my favorite things is to be with you all in meditation. And Leslie really loves this part because she and I can both. We feel everybody, and I'm sure many of you are so sensitive that you're feeling this as well. So let's all tune in with each other right now and connect on the inner plane. So I invite you to, if you're multitasking, just stop. This is the time to just sit and relax and close your eyes and take a few long, slow, deep breaths. And whether you're with us live today or you're listening to this recording later, it doesn't matter. We're all part of the field. We're all connected because time and space really don't exist except in the third dimension, and we transcend that during these meditations. So breathing deeply, just letting go. And as you relax, we invite you to tune in to these other levels of reality beyond time and space. And that's where we're all connected in the heart and in love and in unity consciousness. Long, slow inhales. Long, slow exhales. And we'll all receive this transmission of light that's coming through during the call. It's actually a field that we all generate together and that we all participate in. And again, it doesn't matter if you're with us live or you're listening later. We are all connected. So really just drop in right now and just breathe deeply. Just be with your breath. Breathing in the light and the life force that surrounds you. And breathing out any tension that you might be feeling in your body. Long, slow, deep breaths. Just letting go. Breathing in the present moment. Breathing out any worries about the past or the future. Just being right here, right now. Nothing else to do, nowhere to go, no place to be. Just breathing and being with you. Giving yourself this moment to relax and receive. Receive the light. So as you breathe, let's do a muscular relaxation of the whole body from head to toes. And I invite you to feel a warm wave of energy pouring over your head and passing through your body. And it's so warm that it just melts all the muscles and helps you to relax and release any tension that you might be feeling. So feel it starting with your scalp, relaxing all the muscles of the scalp and the head, pouring down over your face, relaxing your eyes, your nose, the cheeks and the mouth, the ears, just letting go, relaxing the jaw and the back of the tongue, feeling in the back of the head and the neck, the shoulders relaxing and letting go. Just feeling this beautiful, warm wave of energy melting over you. Relaxing your arms and your hands and fingers. Relaxing your chest, your upper back. Remember to breathe, remembering long, slow, deep inhales, Long, slow exhales. And feeling this warm wave of energy relaxing your diaphragm, the solar plexus, which is a place where we hold a lot of tension and stress. So just consciously putting our attention on the solar plexus, and let's all take a nice big draft of air into the lungs and gently push the air gently, gently down on the diaphragm, and then release and let go. Breathing out all that stale air in the bottom of the lungs. And let's do that one more time. Filling up the lungs completely. And just very gently exerting a little pressure down on the diaphragm and then releasing. Exhaling all of the air from the bottom of the lungs. Just feeling yourself completely letting go. That exercise really relaxes the diaphragm a lot. Helps you to open it up. There's a big knot of energy there at the diaphragm. It's actually the biggest knot in the body. And so let's do that one more time. Breathing in. And breathing out. Just feeling a little bit of an opening happening there, the diaphragm, allowing it to really relax and let go. And then feeling that warm wave of energy continuing to slowly pass through the body, melting all the tension in your stomach, the abdomen, the lower back, the pelvis, the psoas muscles running down the front of the hips on either side. They also hold a lot of tension there. So if you just pause for a moment and focus on relaxing those psoas muscles, it's always helpful. Helps relax the whole pelvis, the whole pelvic region. Feeling as you exhale, just feeling the tension releasing, and you can actually visualize dark energy pouring out of you with each exhale, and feel Mother Earth gladly receive that negative energy and stress. She's very, very happy to take it from us. It's a great gift she gives us. So just take another long, slow, deep breath. Breathing all the way down to the bottom of the pelvis, to the root chakra. And then exhaling all the stress, all the tension in the whole body from the pelvis up. Just feel it leaving your body. Feeling yourself becoming lighter. And let's continue to breathe in the light and life force that surrounds us. As this warm wave of energy passes down the legs, relaxing the legs all the way down below the knees, all the way down the calves and the shins. Relaxing the ankles, the feet, and the toes. Just completely letting go. Oh. And let's do another scan of the body from head to toes. And I'll be quiet this time, and I'll just let you scan yourself and breathe light into any areas where you might feel tension, breathing it out, feeling the shadow and the tension leaving your body. as you relax, as you breathe, I invite you to feel this beautiful transmission of love and light that is pouring into our field and wrapping us all up in this beautiful cocoon of golden white light. Just receive. There's nothing to do. You don't have to exert any energy. It's just about relaxing and letting go. Just about receiving. As we relax, let's feel the root chakra opening. You can just put your attention on your root chakra, which, if you're new to this, is at the base of the spine. And it's okay if you don't know what to do. All you have to do is put your attention there. Just feel that area of your body, and it naturally relaxes and opens. And we can drop the grounding cord all the way down into the earth, down to the core of the earth, connecting with the core, commingling our energy with earth energy, and drawing that energy back up into the body through the soles of the feet, feeling yourself beginning to merge with Mother Earth. A beautiful grounding, anchoring feeling. Just relax into it and allow it to be. Again, there's nothing to do. Just let go and feel. Feel gravity gently pulling you down towards the earth. And feel the earth supporting you from beneath in the form of the floor or the chair or whatever you're sitting on. Just feel your connection with earth and allow yourself to surrender into the embrace of Mother Earth like a little baby, letting go, relaxing into the mother's arms. Just feeling so nurtured, so loved, so held. This beautiful energy of the earth enveloping us. Let's just be silent for a moment and just feel this love and support that we receive from Mother Earth. And now I invite you to bring that energy from the earth all the way up your legs and all the way up the torso, along the core of your body, the core of light that is within each one of us. Runs right in front of the spine, the luminous tube of light, if you can see at those levels. Just bring the energy right up, all the way up to the head and up to the crown, top of the cranium. And let's put our attention there on the crown chakra. It sits on the head like a crown a king or a queen would wear. And it's okay, by the way, if you can't feel what's happening. All you need to do is visualize and set the intention that you'd like to feel this, and one day that will happen. And for now, you can just relax and let go and not worry about it. And those of you who are sensitive and can feel, open the crown. Feel it sitting on the top of the head, like the thousand-petaled lotus opening up, unfurling itself like a beautiful flower, petal by petal. Such a beautiful feeling. And feel how connected we are to those celestial realms, the heavenly realms. And feel the energy of the core. Let's send it up and out the top of the head, all the way out into formless space, connecting with the cosmos. And you might see and feel your connection with a star, or with a galaxy, or with our sun, or with some other heavenly body, or maybe with a group of angels or ascended masters. Feel those heavenly realms. Feel the energy that comes from there pouring down into your body. Feel it like a golden white light raining down on you very gently, like a mist. As the crown chakra continues to open, just feel yourself receiving this transmission of love and light. It's universal love, unconditional love. It's actually the stuff that we're made of. Stardust. Just feel it filling you up. Soak it in like a sponge. Feel it filling up your body all the way down your arms and hands and fingers. Filling up with light so much that the light begins to shoot out the tips of your fingers. Filling up your body all the way down the legs. So much that it fills up your feet and toes and shoots out the tips of your toes. Filling up your aura. And just relaxing into this beautiful transmission of divine light and energy. So as we relax into this and receive, I'll just say a little prayer and an invocation for our call today. We call on the Great Spirit, Divine Mother, Father God, the Self that we all are, the spark of eternity that we all are. We call on all of the guides and the teachers and the angels and all the beings in the invisible realms who surround us in the highest love and support. We invite you into our sacred circle today, and I invite everybody on this call to invite in your own guides who surround you in the highest love and support. Invite them into this call. It's okay if you don't know who they are. You can just call in your guardian angel. Whoever you like. Whoever is the highest support. So we invite you all into this sacred space, and we thank you. Please wrap us up in a beautiful cocoon of golden white light and love and healing energy. Guide our conversation today into the highest love and the highest wisdom. Hold our hands as we walk this path during such challenging times. guide us into our soul's highest purpose. And we're so grateful for the love and support we receive all the time. And we're grateful for these bodies we wear for a few years on this beautiful, beautiful virtual reality planet called Earth. The beautiful blue jewel hanging out in the cosmos that is at this remarkable pivot point in human evolution where we're opening up to love in a whole new way, to a new paradigm of the heart, which sometimes doesn't feel that way. So we're grateful anyway. We're grateful even though it can feel challenging. We're grateful for the opportunity, and we recognize that all the challenges we face are gifts and opportunities at some level. And we ask to be shown what those gifts and opportunities are so that we can shine our light in the world and live in joy, which is the highest vibration, the highest fulfillment of the spiritual journey, being joy. So we thank you. We offer our gratitude for this time together today, and invite you now to slowly, slowly, gently bring your awareness back into your body. Slowly wiggle your fingers and toes. And if you need to multitask, you can open your eyes and you can do what you need to do. If you want to just stay in meditation, you're also welcome to do that and just receive. Remember, even when we're talking, the transmission is still coming through. And just as a reminder, I know most of you know this, but you know, we do a lot of talking on these calls. And really the most important thing is the relaxation and the transmission, the energy. So, you know, it's always wonderful to connect through words and yet it's always good to remember just to receive this gift that we get of the light and the love that comes pouring through at these times. So again, welcome. Welcome, everybody. I'm so happy to be with you. We have people from all over the world that tune in with these calls. Usually there's several hundred people, not live, but I know who listen to the call later. So just know that you're all welcome, and we're all part of a spiritual community, even if you don't know anybody else. But I know many of you have been part of Core Light for a very long time, and we know each other, and so it's really special to know that we're connecting at these levels. We always miss being together physically, and I know that's true, especially for everybody right now, after a year of what we've been through, where we're not able to connect like we used to. But I hope that changes. You know, I'm really hoping. I'm hoping to get back to the United States this year. It's possible that that might happen. And who knows? We might even get to have an event at some point. So I would really like that. I'd love to see you in person. So we'll be in touch about that. Keep your eyes and ears on the emails, and we'll be in touch about those possibilities. So anyway, let's get started. I wanted to just talk a little bit about the new moon. Today is a new moon, which is a very auspicious time. And this particular new moon is a really good time to focus on the physical body and to focus on self-care. And I know we talk about this almost every month these days. For months, we've been talking about the importance of self-care. But there's something special about the planetary alignments right now. And I'm not an astrologer, but I know that to be true. I've heard it from several astrologers. So new moons are always a great time for setting intentions. So today would be a good day to consider what you want and state your intentions to the universe, and really maybe do a little ceremony or a prayer or something. Give some attention to that today. For example, you might set a new self-care routine, or if you happen to be facing some decisions, it's really good to use your intuition and not make any decisions based on pressure from the outside. It's a great opportunity to make all your decisions based on your own timing, your own intuition, not feeling pressured from the outside. And I know, I don't know if you've read Stephanie Austin's Eco-Astrology report this month. Stephanie is often a guest speaker on our calls, and she's been part of Corelight for a very long time. And there was something in her report that stood out for me about the new moon, and I want to read it to you. It's a quote. Get ready. Are you ready? It's a quote from the movie Wonder Woman. So these words are from Diana Prince in the film Wonder Woman. And Stephanie says, they beautifully sum up the challenge of this new moon and of our times. Here's the quote. Diana Prince says, I used to want to save the world, to end war and bring peace to mankind. But then I glimpsed the darkness that lives within their light and learned that inside every one of them there will always be both. A choice each must make for themselves, something no hero will ever defeat. And now I know that only love can truly save the world. So I stay, I fight, and I give for the world I know can be. This is my mission now, forever. I just love that. I'm going to read part of it again. I used to want to save the world, to end war and bring peace to mankind. But then I glimpsed the darkness that lives within their light and learned that inside every one of them there will always be both. A choice each must make for themselves, something no hero will ever defeat. And now I know that only love can truly save this world. Wow. So if you haven't seen the movie Wonder Woman, I highly recommend it. It's worth it just for that quote. But if you don't like movies with fighting and violence and all that sort of thing, you can just listen to the quote or read the quote. So anyway, some of the highlights of this energy that we're in right now that I'm feeling, that I'm attuned to, that I just wanted to double-click on this month. A lot of body issues are up. I don't know if you're noticing that, but I know so many people going through stuff with the body, and I include myself in that. And also I include in this dramas. Dramas are just incredibly intense right now. There are crises of all kinds, especially crises in consciousness. So for a lot of people, it's what we would call the core wounding is up. So for example, people feeling shame or anger or fear. In a massive way, I know we're always experiencing this, but what's happening right now is often just super accelerated, super magnified right now. And so it's important to know that you're not alone. If you're feeling any of this stuff, just know that big changes are happening right now for a lot of people. If you happen to be one of the few that aren't feeling any of these things and you're like not resonating at all with what I'm saying, consider yourself blessed and just enjoy where you are because you're unique. Most people I know are going through something along these lines. And also to remember that if you're having this stuff happening, it's all a gift. You know, this is all a clearing. It's an opportunity to clean out, to make room for some kind of new vibration, new frequency to come in, and a whole new phase of life to begin. That's what we're being given right now. It's actually very, very beautiful. So one of the keys that I wanted to share with you this month is focusing on calming the nervous system. It's one of the one of the best things we can do in our self-care routine right now. Just focus on calming the nervous system in whatever way you know how to do that. And I'm sure most of you know how. It's anything that brings you relaxation, like deep breathing or exercise, cardio especially, meditation, stretching, yoga, you know, all the things, warm baths, all the things that we do for self-care, being in nature, listening to soft, relaxing music. As we've been saying for such a long time, self-care is no longer a luxury. Self-care is no longer something that we can just say, yeah, I'll get to it, or I know I should be doing it, but I don't have time. That's not what it's about right now. We're going to be on the path to burnout if we're not focused on this. So very important to highlight this right now for each of us. And lastly, before we move on to some new topics, I wanted to say, we talked about this the last couple of months, I think, or maybe it was just last month, but it's about the power of creativity right now. Doing something, doing anything creative has massive power. It's really an antidote to what the challenges are that we're facing. If you're going through some of these challenges I've been highlighting, it's really, really helpful to do anything creative. I know a lot of people, I include myself in this, a lot of us are having creative projects that we can, like bigger projects that we can get started on. And with this new moon, if you haven't started a creative project, make that an intention. You know, it's a great intention for right now. Start something creative. And it doesn't have to be a big deal. You know, you don't have to start a nonprofit or, you know, changing the world. You can simply doodle or get some crayons and just draw something. You know, anything creative, anything that is your creativity, it's the divine energy moving through you. It's so incredibly powerful, I can't even tell you. It always is, but especially right now, it's been that way for the last couple of months, and I personally and a lot of people I know are finding it helpful. So I'm just mentioning that again. And there's a lot we could share, and I'm just trying to tune in to see what might be the most helpful for us. So one of the things I just want to mention that we haven't talked about in a while, but it's this thing we call the quickening, or sometimes we call it the ascension accelerator. And, you know, this has been planet-wide for a long time. And I think it's just important that we remember that that's what's happening. It's about Earth location in the galaxy, you know, where we're in, the place we're in the galaxy right now, and where we're moving as a planet, it's the energies in this physical location in space are magnifying energies. They're accelerating energies. So that's part of what we're going through with this quickening that we're all feeling, like time is speeding up, energy is speeding up. Things are moving so fast, it seems. Time itself is moving fast, it seems. So it also has to do with the evolution of the sun. And the sun is affecting us more than we realize right now. So just so we remember this and we don't have to think we're going crazy, it's really just part of what's happening to the planet right now. And what this does is it's essentially bringing up extremes. The time of extremes. And we've all noticed over the last few years, especially the weather seems to be getting more extreme with each passing year. And we're also seeing it in human consciousness and in the behaviors around the planet. So, for example, the polarizations in consciousness are just becoming more and more extreme, and people starting to act out like crazy more and more. And this just seems to be getting worse. You know, it just seems to be accelerating, and it's going to continue that way until there'll be, whenever this shift is, and I don't think anybody really knows when this is or what it's actually going to look like, but whatever we're building towards, you know, it's going to get a lot better after that. But meanwhile, it's like we have to go through this intensification of the energy in order to ascend in consciousness. And if you know how to do that, if you know how to use that energy, that intensification to ascend in consciousness, then you can benefit from it. So like, for example, if you are a joyful person naturally, and you naturally like to serve other people, and you like to put your love into action in some way, then you are going to be experiencing even greater states of that, and including joy and bliss states, and you're going to be able to help others more and more and to share your love more and more. But if somebody is dealing with a lot of deep shadow and deep wounding, and if they don't have a really strong witness about it, and maybe they don't have the skills to clear the shadow, then they're likely to go deeper into shadow, and it's likely to affect them negatively. So, for example, if somebody's really angry by nature, and, you know, let's say maybe that they're not actively working on their healing, you know, they're actively engaged in acting their wounding out, then they're likely going to be experiencing increasing anger. And this is something to watch out for. And I don't know if you've noticed, but I see it in my life all the time. I won't go into details. I don't need to give examples. I'm sure we can all think of our own examples. But it's, like I said, extremes. And to remember right now that it's such a great opportunity for those of us who know how to use the energy to ascend. And that's that term, the ascension accelerator. We can use this energy. So I wanted to bring that up just as a reminder for all of us that, you know, it's good to keep this in the forefront of our minds as we're watching the craziness of the world and as we're feeling these strange things passing through us, these strange energies, these strange emotions or reactions. I also wanted to speak today about trust. It feels to me like trust might be what we could call the lesson of the day. Whatever's going on with us, you know, whatever kind of crisis in consciousness we're experiencing, whatever kind of drama is unfolding, doesn't matter if it's financial or, you know, relationship or work or health, whatever it is. So much of what we're going through is about taking risks. The principle, jump and the net will appear, is up right now. You know, we stand at the edge of the cliff and we look down and we see certain death, so it's human nature to just walk away and not jump. But if we remember that principle, you know, that after you jump, that's when the net appears. That allows us to take the risks. And I'm not talking about impulsiveness. I'm not talking about foolishly just jumping off cliffs. I'm talking about doing our processing, witnessing, meditating on the situation, doing a calculated risk, doing something that feels doable to you. Can be small, just be something little. If it's too scary, you don't want to do it. But it's a really good time right now to take some kind of risk and practice trust, practice flexing your trust muscle. I had a friend say to me the other day, she said, trust is like a stupa. It's strong like a stupa. And a stupa, if you don't know, is one of those little Buddhist buildings with the dome and a golden spire on it. And it's a place where energy is anchored, and it's a place where prayers and the power of our consciousness is magnified. So she said, trust is strong like a stupa, like a generator, and it generates what we need. So I like that image. I like to think of what we're doing right now as we take whatever risk we're willing to take, that we're in that stupa. We're in that Buddhist stupa, and we're held by it. strong. We are strong. And we generate what we need from being in that energy of the trust stupa. Leslie used to call this skywalking. So for those of you who've been around for a long time, you know what that means. I'm not going to go into it, but I love the term. Skywalking comes after Luke Skywalker in Star Wars, who, if you remember, he had to, well, I don't want to tell the whole story again, but it's such a great metaphor, you know, that it's about trusting the force, not trusting our linear logical mind, not trusting the small self, the egoic self, but trusting in the force, in the higher self, trusting that we are cared for and loved, and if we jump, the net will appear. So I also wanted to talk today a little bit about something that came up in the last call. There was a question that came forward from somebody in March that I realized later I really didn't answer fully enough. And so I wanted to elaborate on it a little bit. It was a question about urgency. And it was urgency in the sense of planetary management is the way the person put it. It was about, you know, how do we do this? How do we navigate these times that we're living in when we're told that the planet is having all these crises ecologically, all of our systems crumbling, you know, financial, government, and otherwise, all the different systems we know of that are outmoded and not working well and falling apart, actually. So it seems as though, especially with the ecology, I mean, as we watch an extinction essentially happening where species are disappearing at such an alarming rate and the climate changing, and you know, we all feel, if you're sensitive, you feel that, and it's so painful and it's scary, you know, when you really stop and you think about it, it's something very troubling. And so I really appreciated the question last month, and I felt like to elaborate on it a little bit, it's important for all of us because, you know, I think most of us do feel this sense of urgency. We feel like, okay, well, you know, this thing is happening, this juggernaut, and like, what do we do? You know, what do I do? I'm just a single person. How can I help? And what do I do about urgency? You know, so just to unpack it a little bit, I think I spoke last month when I answered the question. I was talking about indigenous people and how they don't have a sense of urgency. At least, let me rephrase that. Let me just say that I know traditionally the teachings of many of the indigenous peoples, tribal peoples. I know specifically some African tribes who say, oh, yeah, urgency. Well, we don't do that. And so what does that mean? You know, when I first heard that, it was so jarring. It was like, well, wait a minute. I hear you, but look what's happening around us. What do we do about that? And so I remember on my own journey how I processed that and how I used to live. Those of you who know me for a long time, you know, I used to live by urgency and deadlines and pressure. And, you know, if we don't meet a certain deadline, then these things are going to happen. And what I learned from that is that it actually doesn't help. It doesn't support the changes that we need to go through in order to, you know, help the situation. So it's confusing. It's confusing because at first you look at the state of the earth and you think, well, there's this urgency that can't be denied. So what can I do to help save the earth or to help save a species or, you know, help just fill in the blank, help whatever it is. And we want to do what we call sacred activism. You know, sacred activism is it's essentially a movement that our friend Andrew Harvey started a long time ago, and it's essentially putting your love into action. And so, of course, we want to do that. But as the indigenous people say, it's not helpful to do urgency, because the truth is that that creates worry and pressure. And worry doesn't help anything. Worry is fear. It's the fear energy, and it's like praying for the thing you don't want when you worry about something. So to put that pressure on ourselves, to set deadlines and say, you know, if we don't do it by this time, then this is going to happen. You know, even if it's true, it doesn't really help. So the question that it was a group of people who I was talking with, and they were communicating with these indigenous people. And so, you know, the natural question is, all right, well, what do you do then? You know, how do you respond? And essentially what they said is, we move forward quickly. Essentially, they're saying, you know, we stand in our compassion. We stand in our love. We stand in our sense of being good stewards of the earth. We stand in a state of community where we're supporting each other, where we're supporting the web of life. You know, we recognize the spirit that moves in all things, runs through nature, it runs through each of us, it runs through the whole natural world, including humans. And if there's something urgent, then we move forward quickly with a purpose. But we don't do timelines and deadlines. And, you know, time is essentially an illusion anyway. So I guess what I keep coming back to when I meditate on this is what helped me process my way through it was realizing that at a soul level, when we incarnated, we knew we were incarnating into this time where there was going to be an urgency. And we were going to experience the dissolution of the old systems. And there would be a massive die-off of species happening, and climate change, and all the things we know. But we always knew that we would get through it somehow. Like, we knew that it was going to be hard. We knew it was going to be a close shave. But we've known at a soul level that we're coming through it, and it doesn't look like that, I know. So it's like we see Earth appearing to teeter, and we worry, you know, we get afraid. And I think it's really important to remember that in reality, it's not Earth that's at stake. It is the human experiment, let's say, that's at stake. It's the question is, will humanity be able to survive on the Earth after all this? That's really the question, because Earth will survive. Earth will always be here. Well, not always, but you know, Earth will survive. It would be arrogant to say that it wouldn't. But the truth is that the benevolent beings who guide our planet, they want the human experiment to succeed. And so they're doing everything in their power to help us come through this in one way or another. So the thing for us to remember right now is that we're so supported, and we will not be able to come through this in our present form because it's not sustainable. So there's going to be this crumbling. There's going to be this dissolving. There's got to be a massive shift in consciousness for humanity to come through this. And nobody knows what that looks like, right? I mean, I do a lot of research, and I do a lot of meditation and asking inwardly about this. And I've never heard one person, even the most evolved spiritual teachers and channels I know, I've really never heard anybody say that they know exactly what's going to happen. Nobody knows what this is going to look like. So all we know is that a massive shift is coming. And we know that it has to change, that we've got to go through a massive change because it's not sustainable. So that's partly why I loved that Wonder Woman quote. She's essentially saying we've got to learn to choose the light over the dark. Each of us ourselves, it's within us. The choice is within us. And that's the essence of what we're facing here. The shift in collective consciousness has to come from us there. So you could say that it's always this choice that we have in every moment, which is choosing love or fear. Right? I mean, that's what the sages have said for ages. It's all about choosing love or fear in any moment. And I think what they're talking about is, you know, that's our awakening, essentially. That's our spiritual awakening. And the, like Leslie's always said, the greatest gift that we can give the earth is our own awakened consciousness. So it comes from that simple choice in any moment. And the more that we can act out of love instead of fear, the more then we're able to live in the heart. And that is the new paradigm of the heart that's birthing. So not buying into the false sense, the false reality, let's say, the false reality of pressure and deadlines and disaster programming and suffering and all of those old ways of thinking, all the habits of thinking and feeling that we've been transcending on the spiritual journey. It's all associated with the ego. It's all associated with an old paradigm. And specifically, I would say a lot of what we're talking about here is associated with the savior program and the mentality of suffering. And it doesn't help. The Wonder Woman quote again, right? She said, to go back to Wonder Woman, she used to want to save the world. But then she realized it doesn't work that way. No savior can come and save us because it's about our choice within us. The light and dark exists within each of us. And so we've got to choose. So just to unpack that a little bit, I know I can tell, I just speak a little bit about my personal experience with it. And we've talked about this before, so I won't dwell on it. But I know many of us in this soul group, whatever we want to call ourselves, you know, the group of spiritual seekers, but whether you want to call it a soul group or whatever, we all have had a lot of religious past lives. And those past lives, the consciousness of those past lives, even if you don't think you had them, even if you don't think you're affected by religious lives, whether past or present, everyone on the planet is affected by them because it's so prevalent that it's part of our collective. So we're all impacted by it, even if you don't think you've had religious past lives. But anyway, the essence of it, we could say, to summarize it, is that suffering is noble. Bearing burdens and doing what you could call self-sacrifice is the hallmark of that paradigm. So we've talked about this in previous calls. I'm not going to spend too much time on it. And I also have talked about it in a lot of the courses that we teach. But to remember that if you can witness to see if you have any of that thought pattern running in you, that suffering is noble, that self-sacrifice and burden-bearing are noble, and that you have to do it to be a good person, something like that. it's really important to witness that and to let it go and do whatever you do to process that away. This is not an excuse to get down on ourselves. You know, that's also part of the programming. Like I hear myself say that, and I suddenly think, all right, if you've got that pattern, you're just going to beat yourself up for doing it. So that's not what this is about. This is just about acknowledging that that's just been a phase of evolution. It's just the consciousness that we've all gone through in the last couple, however many thousands of years, taking that on, taking that suffering as being a way to heaven, kind of thing, whether it's through asceticism or some kind of fundamentalism or, you know, whatever it is, it's there, it's affecting us. So what I found helps the most to really let that go, to alleviate that burden, is practicing joy. And you know, doing whatever shadow processing we need to do as well, not denying it or avoiding it, but practicing joy, living in joy as much as we can. And obviously, I'm not saying, you know, to suppress any emotions, but, you know, like if you have to grieve, you grieve whenever it's necessary. You give the heart its due, but then you let it go and you find the love, you find the joy, and you find your heart again. And so it's all about practicing all the things we know, the witnessing and the compassion and the detachment and surrendering to what's happening in the moment and just letting all that stuff be okay, even challenges. And I know that when you face a challenge, it's really difficult to practice this, but we can do it. You know, we were built for this. This is our time to do this. So this is the practice. And holding that high consciousness and going through the grief at the same time, you know, they're not mutually exclusive. We can experience joy during challenging times. And the Dalai Lama has talked about this a lot. He's a perfect example. He's somebody who, of all the people on the planet, he has every reason to complain and feel the suffering because his culture has been genocided essentially and you know, degraded. He was kicked out of his country and, you know, Tibet is no longer Tibet. But here's a guy who's talking about finding joy. And he's one of the most joyful people on the planet. So if he can do it, we can do it. And he's an inspiration. So there's a lot that can be said about that, but I kind of feel like I should move on. Let me just sit with that for a moment. I just want to say the course that I taught last year called The New Paradigm of the Heart, Transcending Victim Tyrant Consciousness, I really unpacked a lot of these topics in that course, and we're in the process of editing it, and it's going to be available on the website soon. So if this interests you, if you feel like you want to know more about it, that would be a good course. It would be a good resource for you if that's appealing. Okay, so let's move on. I think it's time. I was going to say it's time to do questions and sharing. Shall we do that? Yeah. There are a couple of questions in particular that came in the last month that I'd like to share with you. And there's a lot that I can say, and I have to apologize in advance if your sharing or question doesn't get read today. But these two in particular, I really, really appreciate it, and I want to focus on them. I want to give them their due. So let's do that, and then let's see how much time we have left over for any sharing. You can always, if you're on the webcast, you can post sharings and questions on the Q&A board. And at the end of the call, if there's time, I'll go through that, and I'll read whatever we've got time for. So feel free to share in that way, too. And as I said at the beginning of the call, please send in questions and sharing by email between now and the next call to courses@corelight.org. And that really helps me to, you know, to know how to shape these calls in order to support you and support everybody. So I'm going to read one of the ones that came in, and this is anonymous. The person is anonymous. How does one shift from resistance to re-entering the flow of love during that moment that an eruption is happening inside of you. She underlines, during that moment. So it's about the immediacy of whatever eruption is happening inside of you. For example, while experiencing that feeling of doing something that someone else says you should, but you don't feel that way. And I'm paraphrasing here. Or in situations where someone is trying to impose their will on another. So lately, there are so many situations that appear to separate us. Politics, vaccine, an unvaccinated person, wearing a mask, not wearing a mask, hate crimes, etc. Recently, with the quote-unquote campaign to get vaccinated, there has been divided thinking amongst family members, and more concerning to me, the quote-unquote pressure from my place of employment to get vaccinated. During a recent Zoom meeting, our supervisor sent a poll asking, do you plan to get vaccinated, yes or no? While I felt uneasiness in my being, when you're in the moment, that moment where you can't quite reach into the spiritual toolbox and haven't had a chance to process your feelings and are thrown off your center, are there some tips to maintain neutrality and compassion while you're feeling the opposite? So, wow, that's a really thank you to the person who wrote this in, because I think this is up for a lot of us. You know, you're talking about those moments where you're trying to remember to witness. And for those of you who might be new to Corelight, when we say witness, we're simply talking about a persona that we call the neutral observer. It's that part of us that's connected to the higher self and who knows that we are a soul, we are spirit, having a human experience. We are not a human that occasionally has spiritual experiences. The witness remembers to be detached enough to watch what's happening and to be able to name it. And it's like the fulcrum of a teeter-totter where you are balancing the pairs of opposites. You're standing in neutrality, and you're also in an ascended state where you're able to see at a higher level. So that's the witness. So that's what you're talking about in this question. You're talking about how do we do that in these moments where there's like a shock or a trauma? And that's the $64,000 question. Now $64 million, I suppose, but it's how do we connect with our higher self in those moments and respond appropriately the way we would hope we can? But look, that's the journey, right? I mean, it often doesn't work out that way when there's a shock, which is essentially what you're describing. You know, in the beginning, the witness just isn't there. You're just in the ego. You're just feeling emotion passing through. You want to lash out. You want to fight. You want to scream. You want to do whatever you want to do. You want to have retribution or I don't know, but you're in shock. And that's the path of developing the witness. And that's the key. The key is developing that witness, practicing the witness so that with time, you're holding your witness all the time. And when you get really good at it, even during the shocking times, you can be fully present. You cannot fall into fear. You cannot fall into egoic reactions. You can remain in your heart no matter what. I promise you that. That's how this works with Pritz. But it's practice. You know, we all have to practice. And until that time where you're fully established in your witness, you're right. It's awkward. To say the least, because you know you find yourself in shock or fear, and you're reacting in ways that you may not necessarily want to. You know, you may not be so proud of the way you've acted. It's confusing, it's discombobulating, and you just don't know what to do that's appropriate in the moment. So your question is that you're asking for tips. What do we do in these moments? And what I can tell you, just my personal experience, and this is what Leslie's taught for 30 years, But when in the beginning, when I first started practicing, when that used to happen to me, I would try to find a way to excuse myself. I would try to get the hell out of there, to just leave, you know, just extract myself from the situation. Like I would just say, I've just got to go to the bathroom right now. Or I don't know, something. You find an excuse, you make your excuses and you say, I'm sorry. And then you go away for however long you can, or preferably however long you need to. And you take that time while you're away to do the work. You do your practices. You practice self-inquiry. You clear whatever shadow you can quickly. If it's just a quick bathroom break, sometimes you want to just practice deep breathing. Maybe you do a few quick polarities or triangles. And I'm sorry if you're new to Core Light, what I'm talking about with polarities and triangles, these are techniques that we teach at Core Light, and they're all listed in the Marriage of Spirit book. You can find our book, The Marriage of Spirit, on the website. And it's some of the most powerful work that you can do to shift your consciousness quickly. So, and I'm not trying to sell a book. I'm sorry it sounds like that, but that's not what this is about. The triangles especially are so quick and easy, and I know most of you on these calls know about the triangles, so I'm not going to explain them, but let me just give a couple of examples here for the person who asked the question. So let's just say in this instance, right, you're in this Zoom meeting, and you're in shock, and you just try to find a way to excuse yourself. Let's say you go to the bathroom, and you just go there, and you breathe a little bit, and you say, okay, let's do some triangles because I'm stuck in a polarity here. I'm stuck in some kind of negative response. So what is the polarity I'm dealing with? And you would want to witness and name whatever's happening. So for example, you would say maybe anger. Like maybe you're angry that the boss asked that question. And you would say to yourself, all right, what's the opposite of the anger? And immediately you might feel peace. So perhaps peace and anger, and then you say, okay, what is the tip of the triangle? What is the ascended balance? What word would bring that polarity into balance and help me move back into an ascended state, moving back into my heart? So I'm asking you that question now. What would be the ascended balance of anger and peace? Just sit with it. You don't have to know. You don't have to think about it. You can just feel it in your body. What is the ascended balance of the polarity, anger and peace? And for me, when I tune in on this, I get forgiveness. I get that when I'm in my witness and I'm in those situations like that, I just see that that person who would ask that question is coming from such a limited place. And it's not a fair question. You know, that's just not really kosher. To ask that question on the spot of people. It's like asking who you voted for. It's like asking personal health information. It's like asking, your religion or your politics, you know, so he's obviously, or she's obviously in this limited consciousness. And so to maybe say forgiveness, I see what's happening and I'm going to practice forgiveness in this moment. And let's look at another polarity just for example. So let's just say another polarity might be the pressure to conform, right? When you're asked that question, you want to be able to say whatever everybody else is saying, right? I mean, you don't want to stand out. That's, I think, what's happening to so many people. You want to conform. You want to be a good person, and you want to be like everybody else. Well, look. Many people feel that way. I'm not saying we all feel that way, but your boss, they have put you in a difficult corner. And so pressure to conform, you might, when you're in the bathroom breathing deeply in shock, you say, okay, pressure to conform. What's the opposite? And I'm going to ask you right now, think about it. What's the opposite of the pressure to conform? For me, what I get is the urge to be independent. So then let's just say, for argument's sake, that's the polarity you're working with in the bathroom. You know, the boss and the team are sitting there waiting for you to get out of the bathroom. And you're going like, all right, pressure to conform, urge to be independent. That's the polarity. What is the ascended balance state? What's the triangle here? What it will balance these states and bring them into an ascended state into the heart. So I'm asking you that question right now. What do you get? What word comes up for you? The pressure to conform versus the urge to be independent. What's the ascended balance of that? So for me, I get sovereignty. Sovereignty is that state of soul freedom, personal sovereignty. It's a state of soul freedom where I know I am a unique individual and I need to follow my own intuition. I need to do what I feel is right for me. I'm a sovereign individual. I can make my own choices. I don't have to buckle to pressure to conform. And I also don't have to rebel against authority just so I can be independent. I need to feel into each situation and ask what's true for me here right now. So to come back to your question and to answer your question, I highly recommend the Marriage of Spirit work in general. It's a fantastic method to do quick polarity offerings. The final step, when you come up with those words, you simply make an offering to spirit or to the universe, and you just say, I'm giving this all back now. I'm releasing the polarity, I'm releasing the duality, and I'm instituting that ascended balance state, and I will act from that place. So you go back into your meeting with your affirmations, saying, I'm in a state of forgiveness, and I'm also in a state of sovereignty. I will not be pressured to conform. And I don't have to rebel. I can just be me. I can just forgive everyone, you know, for they know not what they do, essentially. I mean, somebody who's coming from that kind of limited place needs to be forgiven. So anyway, you may still feel anger, right? I mean, that's natural. And you don't want to beat yourself up if you're still feeling anger. But at least you've done the exercise and you're at a higher level of witnessing, let's say, than you were before. So you go back into the meeting and you do the best you can with whatever you have to do. And the chips will fall where they may, but at least you'll be more in your heart and more likely to have a successful, you know, you might have to explain yourself if you don't conform, if you don't say what everybody wants you to say, you might have to say, well, you know, I believe this is everybody's personal choice and that's just my feeling. You know, I'm not judging you for having your opinions. It's just my choice. And you can say it with neutrality. You can say it from your heart with love. You don't have to be judgmental of them. You don't have to be attacking. You don't have to be in rebellion. So anyway, that's the path, you know. I can tell you that... if you practice that, you'll always respond with more poise and with more love and with more wisdom when you return to those situations after you've done that work of shadow clearing or self-inquiry or whatever you want to call it. So I hope that's helpful. And I don't want to move on. I want to address the other part of what you said, which I feel is so important. The other issue that you're raising here is this issue of personal sovereignty. So let's talk about that for a moment. I think, isn't it amazing? I'm sure that everybody listening to this would agree that, isn't it amazing how this divide in consciousness is happening in our world right now, how it's becoming more extreme with every passing month? You know, there's a lot of pressure from Well, I'm not even going to get into the details, but there's just pressure. You know, there's pressure to conform. There is, you know, personal, we all have these personal experiences of the divides that you're talking about in your question here. And it's shocking. It's actually surreal. The word I keep using over and over is surreal. I just look at it and shake my head, like, how did it get to this place? I don't claim to know. But important to witness, right? Important to name. It is surreal. It is extreme. The polarity is growing. But I think to come back to the issue of sovereignty, it's important to remember you don't have to do anything that you don't want to do, ever. It's your personal choice. You are a sovereign individual. You're a sovereign soul. And we all have the freedom to choose what we're going to put in our bodies and what we're not. And nobody can tell you otherwise. So I'm not taking a side here. I'm not advocating one way or the other. So I know this is a touchy subject. So just I'm inviting everybody right now to get into the witness. Because I know how charged this is. Whenever I bring up these charged subjects on the call, I don't like to shy away from them. I feel like that's why we're here. It's important to talk about them. So I invite you to witness, to just remember to be in your neutral observer, and let's keep an open mind. Let's not choose the side. I'm certainly not. And I would invite you to notice if you get angry or you're feeling threatened by what I'm saying, that all I'm talking about is this highest spiritual principle of keeping an open mind, neither believing nor disbelieving, you know, finding a middle way here, not judging. So it's interesting. I'll just share my personal experience, and I'm sure everybody will resonate. I'm sure you've all had your personal conversations about this situation, as have I, with many different people. And I'm aware that some people are choosing to get this shot in the arm for many different reasons. And some people are doing it because I know they believe it's going to help them not get sick. And maybe that's true. I don't know. And some people are doing it because, you know, we're all being told that it benefits everybody and it's good for everybody. It's for the good of the whole, let's say. And I know there's one person I know who's in the medical field, and he is super excited about this being a fantastic new technology. And so he's advocating it for that reason. And some people are doing it because, you know, they're just tired of not having the freedom that they used to have. And like, for example, international travel. I know somebody who decided to get it because he just thought it'd make it easier to travel internationally. And, you know, in general, more things seem to be allowed now if you get the vaccine. So I know some people are doing it just because they feel it's the right thing to do for whatever. They can't even name a reason. They just feel inside of them that it's the right thing for them. So what I found so extraordinary is that it's a very rare person who I can have this conversation with and not have the person get really charged and angry about it. So again, if you're feeling charge, if you're feeling some kind of, you know, anger or some kind of charge coming up for you around this, I apologize. It's not my intention, but it's good to witness it, right? I invite you to just witness that and see what that's about. Because again, I'm not advocating one way or the other for anybody. Most people just try to avoid the conversation completely now. You know, most people just don't talk about it because we... You know, discovered it usually doesn't go very well unless you're talking with somebody who thinks exactly like you do. And have you noticed that? You know, it's just too intense. There's just too much charge around it, no matter what side of the argument that you might be on. If you're even on a side, I mean, I know some people are heavily on one side or the other, and I know that makes for this polarity. So So there have been a few people that I've talked with about this who I consider super evolved, like very, very spiritual people who have a high level of evolution. And a couple of them have gotten the vaccine and I haven't. And we all agreed on a couple of things. And number one is what I've already said, that it's a matter of personal choice. And number two, we don't have to judge people whether they choose to get it or not get it. You know, everybody has to decide for themselves. And then we each deal with the consequences of our actions. And we don't know what that's going to be. You know, this is a big unknown we're facing here. So who knows what's coming? But we'll find out. We'll find out. And when they asked me, when these friends of mine asked me why I wasn't going to get it, I just explained, you know, look, I just feel deep in my being it's not for me. And it's just a strong inner knowing. And, you know, I've also done a lot of research, and I just know, for me, it seems too experimental. I don't want to get it because it seems like an experiment. And, you know, it's also, I think it's pretty clear that there's a lot of money involved, and I've done a lot of research on it, and you know, a lot of the research is being done by people and organizations who have a financial stake involved, and that's most of the stuff that's out there. So honestly, it just puts me off. Like, it just feels like a lot of it is propaganda, and I don't trust it. So that's my choice. That's where I go with it. That's what I feel. And I'm not judging anybody for any choice that they make. But I guess the place where I have been also very clear with people in these conversations is that, you know, what doesn't feel right to me about this whole situation is the idea of a vaccine passport, you know, to restrict anybody's freedoms because they choose not to get some kind of medical treatment. To me, that just doesn't feel right. That just feels Orwellian. And, you know, that's already being rolled out in Israel, and a lot of other countries and businesses around the world are talking about it. And so it just, you know, out of principle, I just feel like this doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel right in my body. So, again, I want to apologize if this conversation is pushing your buttons. It's not my intention. I just wanted to share my personal beliefs because somebody brought this up. And, I feel like it's good to talk about it. We're all entitled to our own opinions. And really, really important right now to remember not to judge each other. So there's a lot more we can say, but I feel like let's leave it at that. For right now, there's another question I'd like to move on to. That's also, it brought up a really good point that I'd like to address this month. So this person says, anger. Anger is part of grief. Repressed anger can cause depression. I'm suffering from both. I had a completely unexpected bout of anger on Sunday. It hit me like a ton of bricks, and I'm still trying to regain my footing. It feels like a compilation of the past year. COVID, politics, the U.S. demise, as I see it, in parentheses, economy, fear, the list is long. So I guess my question is how to process through this. I'm staying in my neutral witness as much as possible. I'm using other Core Light tools, but with so much happening at what seems like warp speed, it feels like I can't process fast enough. And I know the detrimental effects of harboring anger. I hope I'm not in this boat alone because it feels like it's sinking. Ugh. And then the person wrote back again with a second part here. It says, in the process of working through this uncomfortable anger, I made a list of everything I'm angry about. Unfortunately, Core Light is on the list. How can this be? For what seems like years, I've heard you say that we're transitioning into the new paradigm of the heart. One of the descriptions I remember hearing is heart-opening unity consciousness. Sadly, this is the opposite of what I'm experiencing. What feels like every day I witness angry people living in fear and turmoil over what to do with their lives, vaccines, savings accounts, homes, families, etc. And although I'm a strong skywalker, I'm finding the atmosphere to be extremely turbulent. Well, I mean, how many people listening to this can resonate with that? I'm sure everybody. So what I want to say to you is that you are definitely not in that boat alone. There are plenty of us in that boat. We're all experiencing similar things. You know, you talk about an explosion of anger. I have to tell you something. It's funny you would write that, because a dear, dear friend of mine, who's one of the most evolved souls, one of the most enlightened people I know, she told me the other day, she said she could not believe it. Something happened, and she had an outburst of anger that was so extreme. She said she hadn't experienced that since she was a teenager. And that's one example, but I have others. I'm not going to go through them all, but I'm telling you, you're not alone. And you ask, how do you process your way through this stuff, through the grief and the anger and the depression? And so again, number one is witnessing. Yes, that is the number one thing. And we just went over that in the first question, so I'm not going to reiterate it, but that's the key, is to practice witnessing. And allowing yourself to feel whatever feelings are there and express them, letting them be there for as long as they need to be, letting them pass through, letting them leave. You know, it's essentially the practice of giving the heart its due, as we say. And anger included, you know, anger management, anger, like if you don't have a practice of venting anger, then you need to find one. It's really important that you have a healthy way to express the anger and let it out without hurting other people or without hurting yourself. And just recognizing it as what it is, first naming it, you know, just saying, well, this is huge quantities of anger passing through me right now. And then venting it. I remember the last time it happened to me many years ago. I was so surprised. I was riding my bike, and some driver purposely cut in front of me so close that I had to slam on my brakes. And he kind of like laughed at me. He did it on purpose. For whatever reason, he was playing a game with me, and he thought it was funny to I could have died easily or had a really bad accident. And so I found myself so angry, and I just screamed at this guy, and I said, bless you! So whatever works for you, I find screaming is helpful. Screaming into a pillow is helpful. There are other ways to do it that don't cause harm to you or anybody else. So I can really relate to how you feel, you know, like you said, you're having trouble keeping up because it's all moving so fast. And so I just want to address that. What you're talking about is overwhelm, right? And I think all of us are in it, or most of us anyway. So overwhelm is another process that we can work our way through. I remember when this first came up for me and Leslie said that to me, and I got so upset. I was like, I don't want to hear that. I just want to hear that it's not okay, and I want to be angry. So if you're feeling angry about it, then great. Just get angry. Be as angry as you need to for as long as you need to. Vent it. Do what you need to do. But do practice witnessing, or it's not going to help. You can vent all you want, but if you're not witnessing, it's just going to get worse. So overwhelm. So processing overwhelm. How do we do that? Well, naming it and witnessing it is the beginning. And just by saying that, it can be a bit of a relief, right? Do you get a sense of relief from just recognizing that overwhelm is simply an egoic state, and that it's also just an energy that's passing through us? I mean, that's the beginning of the process, the beginning of that journey of clearing it, is by naming it and witnessing it. But then you can also ask, what's the opposite? So I ask you, what is the opposite of overwhelm? And while you think about it, I'm going to take a sip of water here. I can hear the Jeopardy music in the background. So for me, the opposite of overwhelm is coping. And so one of the ways that I used to work with this when it would happen was doing a square on overwhelm and coping. So if you know how to do squares, go for it. And if you don't, just real quickly, you would just simply say, the desire to feel overwhelmed, what is that about in me? And you journal about it. The fear of feeling overwhelmed, or the repulsion or the aversion to feeling overwhelmed, what is that about? And then you journal about that. The desire to cope, you write about that. And the fear of coping, you write about that. Now, some of the corners might seem like they don't apply. And, oh, you could say, well, I don't have a fear of coping. Of course I want to cope. And I don't have a desire to be overwhelmed. Of course I don't. But with squares, what we know, the principle that behind the squares is that we all have everything inside of us. And if you don't see it, it simply means it's unconscious. And the process then becomes making it conscious as you can. So you would write in your journal anything you can think of about why you might desire to feel overwhelmed, because that's probably a corner that's pretty hidden for most people. And you might find what some of the unconscious pieces around that might be. Well, you know, when I feel overwhelmed, I can indulge in feeling victimized, right? I can get sympathy from other people. I can complain. I can make a stink. I can rebel against God and life. I can do. And so anyway, I'm rattling things off, but you have to go into it yourself and feel like, well, what's the payoff, right? There's always a payoff. The ego always has a payoff for these things. So you would look at that, and as well as the fear of coping or the aversion to coping, what would that be about? That's also probably unconscious, so let's talk about it for a moment. Well, if I cope, then there's no drama. And maybe there's a part of me that's got some kind of addiction to drama. Maybe when I was a child, a small child, and you know, I would get sick or overwhelmed with school or something. I would get to, you know, just feel sad and be in bed, and mommy would come and take care of me, and that was so nice. And she'd allow me to stay home from school, and she'd treat me special. So if I want to keep that pattern running, I can't possibly cope, because that would eliminate the pattern and the ego would be threatened with the elimination of that patterning. So I hope that helps. Again, let's also just quickly do the triangle, okay? What if you've got the polarity of overwhelm and coping, what would the ascended balance be for that? And I'll allow you to think about it for a moment. So for me, the ascended balance might be surrendering. Because overwhelming and coping mean that there's somebody doing something to try to, you know, make something work somehow. When in reality, the practice, the highest way of looking at surrendering is that you're offering it all up to spirit, and you're just saying, all right, well, I know there's some dharma here. There's some high path here. There's some purpose behind this. And when I surrender to allow whatever is unfolding to unfold in front of me, without being attracted or repulsed to it, without desiring or fearing to get out of it, that is the ultimate surrender. So maybe surrendering is something that you might want to practice if you're in this polarity, if you find yourself in that. So there are a couple more things I want to say about this, just quickly. If the mental, I know sometimes mental emotional processing techniques don't work for you. Like if you're at a point where you've just done it, you know, you're over it, finished, there's something else that you can remember right now, and that is community, the power of community, reaching out to your community. It's hugely beneficial right now. You know, just sharing this story with others and just being heard by others. These are all healing practices. These are things you can do to find some level of healing in yourself. So find some people that you can talk to who are hopefully spiritually mature people or people who are part of a spiritual community and share, you know, talk about it with them and maybe do a group square together on the process. So I hope that's helpful. I want to address, you mentioned that Core Light is on your list of reasons to be angry. And that made me chuckle because I can tell you, you're not the first person to be angry with Core Light. Over the 30 years we've been doing this work, you know, there are plenty of people who've been angry with the things we say and do. And there are probably plenty of people angry at me right now for the things I just said on this call in response to the last question. But anyway, the things that often we say here are threatening to the ego. And so that might cause some of the anger. I don't know that that's the case with you, with what you're describing here. So I guess the other place to look around this as to why Core Light might be on your list, why you might have been angry with Core Light, is because the principle behind anger is that we don't get angry unless something feels threatening or unless you're being blocked from getting something you want. I remember the Dalai Lama said something like this a while ago. I heard him say the only reason for anger is that you want something, but you're not getting it. You desire whatever you're desiring, you're not getting. So maybe you can ask yourself, what might you be wanting from Core Light that you're not getting? And maybe, I'm just throwing out ideas here, but it sounds like maybe you want the new paradigm of the heart to manifest. And since it's not manifesting, you're feeling angry, and that you heard all us, heard me, but you heard Core Light say that it's going to be heart-centered and unity consciousness, and that's not happening. So that would bring up anger. So I'm just asking you if that might be true for you. And if it's so, if it's true, you could explore that. Take a look at it. And I can just comment that, you know, when I said those words, I've said those words many times. The new paradigm of the heart is about those things. And it is definitely coming, by the way, but I never said when it would arrive. I never said you should be experiencing that stuff now. You know, we've always talked about it as first the old paradigm has to fall apart, right? The new paradigm can't be born until the old one has fallen apart. And, you know, the things that are happening in this world are part of that. The crumbling is well underway, and it's going to get worse before it gets better. You know, the death of the old has to happen. So I think part of what you might be experiencing is disappointment and anger that we're not living in this world of unity consciousness yet, you know, and there aren't many people living with their hearts open all the time yet. Right? I mean, isn't that true? And I honestly think we're quite a ways away from that world manifesting because we've got to go through this dissolution. But I think the most important thing about this that I really wanted to stress today, the most important thing, is that it begins with each of us. The new paradigm of the heart begins inside each of us first, and then it manifests in the outer world, and it's not the other way around. So I think it's really important that we remember that you know, our role personally and collectively, our role in this journey into the new paradigm of the heart is to start by living it inside ourselves. So the philosophy of Core Light is change the world by changing ourselves. And that applies here because the outer world is simply a manifestation of what's inside us. So so I put that out to you as part of the response here that you might want to take a look at and just be with. How can you do that personally? How can you live the new paradigm of the heart more and not necessarily expect it to be expressed by other people yet? What I know to be true is that if you're living it inside, then you're going to draw it to you. The more you live it inside, the more you draw it to you. Let's say that. So if you're lacking it in the outside, the question becomes, all right, well, what can I do then to manifest more of that, to magnetize it to me, you know? And you'll have to come up with your own answers about what can you do? How can you change? How can you manifest what you're wanting there? There's one last thing. We're running out of time here, but there's one last thing to share about this excellent question. I'm so glad you brought it up. When we talk about anger, it's really important to remember that underneath anger is always some kind of fear. Underneath anger is always some kind of fear. And what's helpful is to try to name what that fear is. So let me give you an example. This is a great example that a friend experienced. She's a dear friend of mine who's very psychic, and she channels guides who tell her lots of wise things. And what she said was that this story happened to a friend of hers. So this is third hand. But what happened was the friend was in a hospital room, and it was a shared room. You know, on the other side of a curtain, a divider curtain, there was a woman. And the other woman in the room was a rape victim. And so this friend of my friend was telling the story, and she said the police came to interview this rape victim, and she overheard the conversation. And she said she was shocked that one of the policemen who was interviewing her was actually not kind and not compassionate and was actually accusatory and felt angry. And was expressing his own kind of attitude towards this poor woman who had gone through this experience. And the friend of my friend was really upset, you know, to hear it. And when she told the story to my friend, who is a channel and a psychic, it was very upsetting to both of them. So my friend talked to her guides. And the guides explained this principle. They said, well, behind that policeman's anger and accusatory attitude was a fear. And his fear was that if he accepted that this woman was an innocent victim of rape, he had two young teenage daughters, and he would have had to accept that they could be raped, and that was his worst fear, that his daughters would be abused somehow, harmed somehow, especially by rape. So he couldn't allow himself to accept that this person was an innocent rape victim, because then he'd have to face his own fear of his own daughters, that they could be raped. So I share that story with you because it had a profound effect on me when I heard it, and I would invite you to look at what fear might be under your anger. Could it be maybe that, I don't know, I'm guessing here, but could it be maybe that you might be afraid that the new paradigm of the heart will never come? Or that you fear that you're not able to manifest it yourself and you're feeling like you should be able to, or I don't know. You'll have to take a look and see what comes up for you there. Look at the fear under the anger and see if that helps you. And only you will know what that can be. But one way to do it is to, in prayer, talk to your guides, talk to your spiritual guides, and ask them to show you what the fear is that's under that anger. So I hope that's helpful. And just want to conclude today by inviting us all to remember that we don't have to wait for the new paradigm of the heart to manifest in the outer world. You know, if we live it inside, it doesn't matter what the outside world looks like, because you're going to create it for yourself. You will see the love and the beauty and the higher consciousness everywhere. You'll be able to live in that witness state, in that state of forgiveness, in that state of surrender, in that state of love. You'll be able to live that yourself. So you will be in the new paradigm of the heart. And then you can share that with other people. And, you know, that's how we're going to do this. That's how we're going to make the change. The more of us that can live more, and I'm not saying we all have to be fully enlightened. We just have to practice this more and more. So the more we can each practice that and live it even a little bit, the more we share that with other people. And it's the rip, you know, it's the throwing the pebble in the pond effect. The ripples go out, and you never know who you're going to touch and what your example is going to do and how many people you might affect. You might affect the one person who can make a big difference in a lot of people's lives. So I share that with you as a, I guess, as a sense of hope. And I want to just also acknowledge that I know how hard it is to be in the world at this time, and that you have my compassion. I'm sorry that you're experiencing the anger, and, you know, that we're all going through these essentially traumas, these shocks, these really, really challenging experiences right now. My heart is with you all. And let's all remember that, you know, this too shall pass. This is a gift. Let's remember to find the gift and the opportunity in these situations we're being given, because that is our awakening, right? That is our spiritual awakening. And that's how we will change the world. Okay. So I've talked a lot today, and I'm sorry, I'm not going to have time to read the questions on the Q&A board, but what I'll do is I'll read them later, and maybe we can carry some of them over to the next call in the next month. So if you want to write something on the board, go ahead, I'll check it out. And if you want to send an email for next time, please send it to courses@corelight.org. Any sharing or questions or whatever you'd like to contribute. You know, I just, like I said before, I just feel like these calls are so important. I love them. I love hearing from you. So really share whatever you like, ask any question you like, and we'll talk about it next time. We have 5 minutes left, so I'd like to close with a guided meditation and a prayer. And before I do, I came across a quote by John Lennon that I want to read. I love this little quote. So I thought it might be a nice way to end. John Lennon said, "When I was 5 years old, my mother always told me that happiness was the key to life. When I went to school, they asked me what I wanted to be when I grew up. I wrote down happy. they told me that I didn't understand the assignment. And I told them that they didn't understand life. So I just love that. And if you haven't listened to the song Imagine in a while, it's a great one to listen to. Leslie and I listened to it the other night, and we ended our evening by singing and dancing to it. It's really uplifting. I mean, he was such a visionary. He was really talking about the new paradigm of the heart. He was seeing far into our future, that we will live that one day, that vision he presents in Imagine. Such a beautiful vision. So let's all hold that together. Okay, so we're going to close now, and I invite you to, if you're multitasking, please just stop for a moment and join us for 5 minutes or less. Invite you to sit quietly, close your eyes, and take a few long, slow, deep breaths. And just relax. We've stirred up a lot with this call, and so I invite you to just, if you've got your buttons pushed, or you're feeling emotions, or you're charged in any way, or your mind is thinking a lot, just allow it to leave and let go. Just breathe relaxation in and breathe out the tension and the stress of the mind. Breathe in the stillness and breathe out the busyness. Breathe in the love and breathe out anything that is not love. Breathe in the light and breathe out the shadow and negativity. Just continue the breathing, allowing yourself to relax and let go. Feeling a deep release happening inside of you. We stirred up the energies today, and it's good. If you have stuff churning inside you, let's visualize it burning off. Feel it rising up out of you like a gray smoke, like a cloud. Like a little storm cloud, feel it, lifting out of you. It's leaving now. As you witness it, you can name the emotions, whatever they might be, and just feel them burning off into this cloud that's rising up above you. And feel the sun brightly shining on this cloud, and the cloud is evaporating like clouds do on a hot summer day. And just feel yourself letting go and being free of the things that got stirred up. Free of anger, free of fear, free of overwhelm, and we call on the Great Spirit. We call on all the guides and teachers and angels and all the beings who've been surrounding us in love and support today. And we call you in and we ask for your support to help us release. We're giving all of this egoic stuff back to spirit, back to the universe. We're finished with it. We're ready to let it go. And we choose to live in love. And this is just a little affirmation that I'll invite you to speak with me if you'd like to, if you feel to. Only do it if you feel to. If you don't, that's fine. I choose to live in love. I choose to live in love. I choose to live in love. I choose to release all the negative emotions, like anger, fear, etc. I choose to release all the negative emotions, like fear and anger, etc. I choose to release all the negative emotions, like fear and anger, etc. I choose deep peace and relaxation, which lead to joy. I choose deep peace and relaxation, which lead to joy. I choose deep peace and relaxation, which lead to joy. I know the choice between light and dark, between love and fear, is inside me in every moment. I know the choice between light and dark, and love and fear, is inside me in every moment. I know the choice between light and dark, and love and fear, is inside me in every moment. And I choose love. I choose love. I choose love. And we give such great thanks today for this time together, for this sacred space that we share. We're grateful for the love and support we receive from the guides. And we're grateful for this opportunity to have a body, to live a life in this amazing world at this amazing time when humanity's evolution is pivoting on its axis. We're so deeply grateful for the opportunities that we face, even though they may be challenging. We're grateful to be able to share in community. To live in a field of love together. So I invite each of you now to just feel and visualize this field of love that surrounds us, like a beautiful cocoon of golden white light, and take it in. This transmission that Leslie's sending, that the guides are giving, that we all co-create together. Just see it and feel it surrounding you. It's a beautiful cocoon of golden white light and love and healing energy. Just absorb it, relax into it, soak it in. And you might find that you're getting a smile on your face. You might find a little bit of joy coming from this relaxation and this peace and this love of the field that we're sitting in. So I wish that for you. And I thank you for showing up and for co-creating this field with us, whether you're with us live or in the future, as I keep saying. We're all in this together. So I love you. I'm grateful for you. Thank you. So we close our circle for the day with gratitude to the guides and to each other. And we say, Alala Ho, which is the Tibetan for Amen. Isn't it wonderful, is what it means. Isn't it wonderful? Thank you, everybody. Until next time. Bye for now.